Prep sports now entering week two. I'm Case Kiefer alongside Ray Brewer as always. Usually I feel like this is one of the more fun podcasts. We get to jump to some conclusions after week one, learn some things. I'm not so sure it's that way this year. A whole lot of blowouts in week one. Doesn't feel like we learned a whole lot of anything. Kind of the programs we thought were going to be good did what they were going to do, and the teams we thought might have some trouble in week one, well, had some trouble.
Yeah, I think you hit that nail on the doorhead. Also, many teams suffering penalties, miscues in the snaps, which is a common thing for week one, especially when a lot of teams who played in this, as they call the Hall of Fame game, where you pay $500 to the NIAA Hall of Fame to get the game, didn't get a scrimmage because the first day you were able to scrimmage was last Wednesday. So a lot of moving parts, a lot of penalties. I talked to maybe six or seven coaches. You talked to the same on Friday. Probably five of the six or seven was like, the penalties were brutal. If we play like this next, if we have these penalties next week, this team is going to kill us.
So all of these were Hall of Fame games?
Yeah.
So you had they must have set a record high for Hall of Fame contributions. They're like 21 games. Yeah. I feel like past week ones would be like 12 or 13.
Yeah, with now the advent of playing teams who are from out of town, you're getting a lot of games in that first week. It's makes for quite the news gathering at the end of the night.
Yeah, well, I heard the same things you did. A lot of penalties, a lot of miscues. I think for the most part, though, the coaches were level-headed about it, knew it's early, knew they could fix it. And, you know, I think there's a part of a lot of coaches that wants a few things to go wrong in week one because you want to be able to harp on, hey, we got to do this better. You want to be able to get into your players' heads, you know, as far as points of contention, points they need to clean up. The problem is a lot of these teams, it's going to be hard for the players to want to listen when they win by, you know, 30 and 40 points. And there were certainly a handful of those teams, too, that had no trouble on Friday night.
That's what I was going to tell you. Right when you're saying that, I'm like, boy, what is Gerber telling Arborview then? They look great, man.
Yeah, they actually did have a lot of penalties, too. I don't know. Some of them I didn't see, and there were just flags everywhere, but I'm sure that's the sure, that's what they're trying to preach there is flags, but you are absolutely right. They did look great. I guess I only picked them by four, which I didn't even remember, but they very much were not happy with that. I heard about that all night, including when I interviewed the kid at the end of the game. I don't think he knew it was me. He's like, yeah, we were fired up because someone said we were only going to win by 24 to 20 online, so we had something to show. I was like, huh, wonder who that idiot someone was.
Yeah. Guy should be embarrassed. You played high school football. You've covered it now for a good bit. That Arborview team looked great. I don't know if it was the white uniforms, but it felt like their muscles were popping out of every possible place. And they also looked quick from what I saw online. Were they big and quick and physical? Did they look bigger than – I know because basic going into the year, I was like – they got a few good guys on the O-line. They got the Henry Lim kid. They got the Render kid. They got a chance if they're with this line to do some things. And the Arbor defense was just – they were in the backfield the whole game.
Yeah, well, full disclosure and not naming any names, honestly, because I don't know who it was. It might have been you, but I don't know. Someone told me Arborview was going to be down a little bit. And that just to me seems absolutely asinine now. They looked – I mean, it's one game. You don't want to jump to conclusions. Maybe basic is down, but – it looked like they've just continued getting better and better. I mean, they were so impressive. They lost some big names off of last year's team, but they just have a whole bunch of running backs that can do a whole bunch of different things. I mean, they have like five different guys this year that are going to get a lot of carries, and I do think that the defensive front seven was always going to be a strength, or that was what people pointed to, and they look even better than advertised. I mean, like you said, Basic just didn't have a prayer of blocking these guys, and they all look – I honestly think if you just looked at the front seven, you could be confused and think it's a college team. That's how big they look. So I think you're spot on with that, too. And I just don't know where this Arborview is down narrative came from, but I'm not making it up. I heard it somewhere, but they don't look down at all. I mean, they look as good as ever after week one.
Yeah, so I did our preseason top 10, and I picked Desert Pines, who Arborview had beaten in the Mountain Region playoffs last year ahead of Arborview. And my reasoning was simple. You know, Arborview had to replace its quarterback and its running back, and they had unproven commodities. Plus, last year, Bubba Graham was like a lot of their offense. And I'm thinking, well, who's going to run the rock for him? And then you get, you know, Jaden Jackson, the Hauser kid, the Mitchell guy was great, right? And all of a sudden you're thinking to yourself, Bubba who? And Arborview looks like, I mean, they would push some people around. Desert Pines didn't play. They play Minogue this week, but I'd be hard-pressed picking Arbor against anybody not named Gorman, including probably Liberty.
Yeah, I mean, I haven't seen Liberty yet. Speaking of things that come up every year, we should still have that game every year because that would be really intriguing now. And the really scary thing is, yeah, you mentioned, I think you mentioned at least two or three of the kids that really stood out on Friday running the ball, Mitchell, Hausner, and Jackson. But I've heard the rumblings that they have a sophomore that is probably the most talented of all of them. It's going to be a kid that's going to get some recruiting attention, not to give away the secret, but maybe you'll see more of him coming in the year. And, you know, Arborview got off to such a big lead. They were just pounding basic from the beginning that I feel like they kind of held back in that game and just ran, you know, their same two or three plays you always see at them. I think they're going to have some new wrinkles for this week when they take on an out-of-state opponent. I don't even think we've seen the full extent of what Arborview is capable of.
Yeah, you're not going to give away everything in week one, especially when you're ahead. Speaking of teams that looked decent, Bishop Gorman, they scored on the second play of the game, and they end up winning 40-7. Now, granted, they were up 27-0, CK, in the first quarter, didn't score in the second and third quarter, and then they got a few late touchdowns to pull away, 40-7 victory. I will say the Orem coach was suspended. Not that that would have mattered. Because my guy, Case, I got a new guy.
Okay, who's that?
Zach Branch.
Receiver?
Yes. You know the Branch from the Raiders?
Yes.
Uncle. This is their uncle. There's two Branches on Gorman.
This is their nephew?
Yes, that's okay. What I meant.
All
right. That's what I meant. And this guy's first touch as a ninth grader on varsity.
Ooh, ninth grader.
Takes a little bubble screen to the house for a touchdown. Very quick and athletic. People right away were making comparisons to Tyjon Lindsey.
What happened? Is Tyjon Lindsey, where's he at now?
Oregon State.
Okay.
Oregon State. So he followed the Nebraska coach over to Corvallis.
Okay, gotcha.
So, yeah, Gorman, they look, you know, Part of the night, you know, after one quarter, I'm looking at my watch. I'm like, all right, here we go, running clock. They're cruising. They're making it happen. Bearfield had two touchdown runs. They're up 27-0. All systems are go. Then they stall a little bit in the second and third quarter, and you're like, okay, maybe Gorman can be beatable. And you always do this self with yourself every year. But Gorman, they win 40-7. They're on the way to Hawaii. They play St. Louis in the Aloha Classic this week, and the Liberty Patriots play Milani in the same tournament.
Is Liberty headed to Hawaii too?
Yeah.
All right, both games in Hawaii, back to back.
Aloha.
Like they've been here before.
Aloha. Yeah.
Okay. Very nice.
This is going to be fun. This is cool for Vegas. Those kids get to go out there.
What's the outlook on those games? I haven't. I'm going to be picking dry on the podcast this week. Haven't had a chance to look at the games, but you know, I got to think Gorman's going to be a favorite after winning 40-7. I believe they've beat St. Louis in the past, if I'm not mistaken. Liberty, we haven't mentioned their score yet. They kept it competitive, but I believe lost 31-17 to Chandler. In Mililani, always a program you hear a lot about. So just kind of where does it fall for both our two local powers?
So I think if both of these games were played like at Sam Boyd Stadium, I would say no question both Liberty and Gorman win. I worry just like when Hawaii football comes to the island or when a Mountain West team, UNLV, if you will, goes to Hawaii, I worry about the travel. St. Louis defending state champs. They've looked good so far. Milani's looked good as well. It's going to be interesting to see how Gorman does in this showcase game. Is it going to be the 27-0 Gorman, or is it going to be the, oh God, Gorman can't get a first down in the second or third quarter? And I just fear for the Liberty Patriots that they might not have enough ammunition to get done. I think both games are going to be close. I don't think either team's going to embarrass themselves But I don't want to give my picks away, but I think these are essentially coin flip games, even with the travel, and it should be a great night of football.
Okay, good to know. And
two top 100, all four teams top 100 nationally.
Yeah, that was exactly the kind of answer, the sense I was trying to get of the games out of you. And since you say I disagree with every theory you ever have, I got to point out now when I totally agree with what you're saying. Traveling all the way to Hawaii, that's a big... You're taking a few points of expectation off of Gorman and Liberty in my mind. And you could have used an example from just this weekend. We saw there's still a few local kids playing for Arizona. They flew to Hawaii to open the season in college football and were extremely rusty. A bunch of turnovers, otherwise a game they should have won. So I think you see it on all levels. That's not an easy trip, 3,000 miles or, you know, whatever it is. It's tough to be at your sharpest with that.
A ton of local players with good performances this weekend, right? Brevin Jordan, big touchdown, a few big catches for the U. And then in that Hawaii Arizona game, did you watch that at all?
I didn't see any of that. I mean, I saw the highlights, but okay. I didn't watch it.
Tony Fields had a few tackles, I would say 10-ish, and an interception. And then Akeem Okeke, the Gorman player, do you remember him?
Yeah.
He had the big interception for Hawaii that basically sealed the game. He's a senior linebacker.
And that Justin Belknap for Arizona is one of their best defensive players. Yes. Didn't he get Coronado?
Yeah, and he was hurt last year, so he was back in the rotation. So anytime you flip on the old tube, you see some of the fellas running around. I guess Tate Martell played wide receiver for Miami.
Yeah, I think at one carry. I think he got stuffed, but I remember him carrying the ball.
Did you watch that game as well?
I watched the Miami game, yes. Brevin Jordan was very impressive.
He was. I was.
Agree with you.
I went to one of my favorites, Napoli's party at Napoli's.
Oh, yeah? Yeah. All right. There you go.
Yeah. Love that place.
Other score, what else stands out to you from week one? We hit on the big boys. I guess two shout outs I'd like to give. We expected, you know, these teams to be in different directions this year, but I think certainly it was a big opening for Centennial to win 35-0, and a bunch of the kids you expected to be good. Backed it up. I think Colton Tinney had three touchdown passes. Jarek Robinson had a big touchdown. I think that one was big. And I got to give a shout out to, I think, the team that we've made the most angry the last several years on the podcast. Always I'm seeing them. Usually it's mad at me, but I saw them say something to you this week on Twitter. But Shadow Ridge nearly knocked off Snow Canyon, which we always say Snow Canyon beats every Vegas team, 31-27. We talked last week about could Shadow Ridge finally break through and get to the playoffs. And honestly, I know you're never happy with a loss, but that was a score that kind of jumped off the page to me and saying, hey, maybe Shadow Ridge has a chance. They were right there in that game.
Hey, and they lost late. Speaking of teams that lost late, did you see the Prump score?
46-42. I'm looking at it now. No, very close. Did they cough it up in the final minutes or something?
Massive collapse. They were up 42-13.
Ooh. 33-0 to end the game for Lowry.
Yeah.
That's not good.
Yeah. Speaking of teams that we were impressed with, did you happen to see the score of the old Chaparral Cowboys?
Another one I was not surprised with. I think we both had Chaparral winning.
Meshack Hawkins, two touchdowns for the Cowboys. Okay, let me put you on the spot here.
31-6.
You got one answer.
Okay.
Who wins the rushing title between Jordan Norwood, who in Cimarron's win against Boulder City, as expected, broke free for 241,
yeah.
or my guy Christian Vaughn from DO?
Your guy? You didn't even pick them to win. I was hyping him up all last year, and you were not as high on him. I'm fine with you liking Christian Vaughn right now. You could not call him my guy. That's where I'm drawing the line.
Our guy, okay. 235 yards. And shout out real fast, shout out to Mike Valenzuela from my Del Sol Dragons, who I picked
to
win.
You can be, they can be your Del Sol Dragons.
He was
Dragon.
The only road coach that's, any losing coach that sent us his stats, which we said if you want to, we'll put them in. So shout out to him. So Vaughn went for 235 and Norwood went for 241. Who's going to win the championship?
Well, I think, title. I mean, I still think you have to take the field over those two kids, right? What about this pretty impressive performance from Cam Barfield to start, 194 against a national opponent, I think.
Yeah, my thing with him, though, is when they get into league play, he's not going to carry the rock a bunch of times because they're going to be running clock. Yeah. It's mathematically impossible for him to win.
Yeah, I don't know. I still think it's tough. So you're saying it's definitely going to be Vaughn or Norwood?
I mean, the field is still in play. Yeah, course, I think I would somebody take somebody could emerge.
I would take the field. The thing is, it'd be hard for me to take a running back in town over Norwood. What he's, you know, having seen him last year and what he's done, he's incredible. But his strength of schedule, I think, is a little bit tougher in his division than Vaughn is going to be. That's in the Southwest. So I think you could make a really good case for Vaughn as well.
So maybe we should rearrange the question, and we'll ask you listening. Does Norwood go for more against Arbor than Vaughn goes for Dio against Gorman?
I would take Norwood.
Okay.
Well, what about you?
Well, you're just doubting Arbor View left and right this year.
No, against all right, wait. Arbor yeah, it's Arbor View or Gorman. I mean, Gorman's like I think Arbor View's great. Out of what I've seen, they should be the number two team, but Gorman's like top five in the Nate, top 10 in the nation, something like that.
Yeah, they're in the conversation.
Exactly. Yeah, exactly. So, yeah, maybe I'm just all over Arborview and they're not going to be happy with me again, but I also like Norwood. I love Christian Vaughn. I think it's fair to say he was my guy because I was hyping him up early last year, but I think I like Norwood better than Vaughn. So I'm getting the better running back in my mind against the slightly less efficient defense.
Okay, and then while we're giving shout-outs, I knew, Case, it would take you a while to give respect to this one.
How did we wait this long? I don't think we should have waited this long.
16 minutes into the show, we don't mention the kitty cats. Vegas, huh?
Very impressive. 42-28 over Adelanto. And one of Brewer's theories falls of California teams always beating Vegas teams. I think they had a losing. I think California had a losing record this week for the record.
Jay Sean Scroggins. Yeah, say that three times fast.
Jay Sean Scroggins. Yeah, just a little bit of a tongue twister.
He goes for 300 yards, five touchdowns. Miles Davis, three of those touchdowns. Also, shout out to Jalen Gray and Junior Carmona. The Kitty Cats feel like they got a chance to. I think everybody says the Northeast is pretty much set, right? Mojave takes last, El Dorado takes fifth, and then Vegas is fourth, and then Legacy Canyon DP will fight it out for the top three spots. And the Kitty Cats are like, whoa, let's pump the brakes here. Why can't we be in that conversation? And when you could pitch and catch it like that, Scroggins to Davis over and over. Now, granted, you're going to have to play some D, but I think the Wildcats could get it done if they need to.
Yeah, and they have – I mean, I guess I don't know up and down the roster how much they have back, but both those two kids were played a lot last year and did some good things last year. So maybe we should have paid a little bit more attention to them. Maybe this is the first year since I've worked here where Vegas will be undervalued in your mind instead of overvalued. Okay. But I like it. Big shout-out to the Wildcats. That is an impressive victory to start.
And speaking of good quarterback play – Legacy.
Yeah, that's who I was thinking. Were you right there? You were going with.
Say
yeah.
the last name of this kid.
I need to get his name. I need to get
Evan Olays.
I think it's just Olays.
Did that kid? That kid's personality, CK, was off the charts, man. When we talked to him, were you there in the room when we talked to that kid?
I don't think I was. I think I had to go to another interview during Legacy. But trust me, I heard all about him from one of our favorite guys to talk to, Ice Zola on a. On Friday night, he was telling me all about Olays, that he runs a 4.3 40 supposedly or something like a 4.3 4.6. Sorry, but
they
still
sliced and diced this Burroughs team pretty good. Got the best out of that home and home. They won there last year and they won this year. Holloway, my guy, almost had a TD. They just great win. I mean, the Legacy's got to be feeling confident about themselves.
Yeah, I mean, if Olays is. Olays, however you say his name, now you're in my head. If he can do the things that Legacy expects him to do, they're going to be a problem for a lot of people, I think. I know he was inconsistent last year. Having another year under his belt, fast kid that can also throw. Legacy, I think they have a really high ceiling right now.
Yeah. Other winners, we got to give shout-outs to everybody. My Moapa Valley Pirates got one of many. They won in Utah rather convincingly. The Gators of Green Valley going down to Huntington Beach. No surfing, just winning.
And this sounded like the sloppiest game of all. I think that they had both teams may have had a safety. The first two plays of Green Valley were snaps over the quarterback's head, bunch of turnovers, but they got it done, and that's what counts.
Yeah, the Foothill Falcons, 19-0, Coach Vernon Brown's initial game. A lot of penalties there as well. But Coy Riggin, two touchdown passes. And the defense, Tofu Wilson, Micah Johnson, Coulter McKee, those guys were on point. And a nice little win to start the season for the Falcons of Foothill, who welcome Canyon Springs and my guy Martin Blake this week. Could I say my guy? Can I claim him before you claim him?
Yeah, no, he can be yours. I just had one problem with Christian Vaughn because I remember very specifically last year I was shouting out the guy after two or three games, and you went with the old who's he played. I don't believe in this. And then, hey, they wind up with a winning record anyway, made the playoffs.
There's nothing, strength of schedule. I mean, we just talked about it in the Vaughn versus Norwood rushing title.
True, but you were a doubter for a long time. That's all I was getting at.
And then lastly, PV Nation, another Thomas. This one, Sharon Thomas, helps PV score the final two touchdowns and get by Durango 43-27.
All right, yeah, so a bunch of games last week. A little bit shorter schedule this week. We talked about the Hawaii games. Before we dive into the picks, any other super highlights you want to point out? I mentioned Arborview as an out-of-state opponent. That is American Fork, who I'm told is pretty highly ranked in Utah, one of the better Utah programs. So that'll be another out-of-state one to watch.
Do you know who the leading tackler was for Hawaii?
No, I'm assuming it's someone you haven't named so far.
Yeah,
since you brought it up.
I feel bad that somebody might come back and be like, Brewer. It was Kalen Hicks.
Where'd he go?
He went to Gorman.
Okay.
He wasn't one of their Jimmies and Joes, but...
So they have a pipeline, Gorman to Hawaii.
I don't know about that. I mean, when you're putting out that many D1 kids, right?
That's quite a bit, though. They have at least three on the Hawaii roster? Or did you only mention one other? You only mentioned Okiki? Okay, maybe only
Hicks,
two.
Okiki, yeah.
Okay. Well, all right. Shout out to him for being the leading tackler and...
He was injured in high school. That's why we didn't.
Okay. Yeah. Well, be on the lookout. A lot more Vegas kids will be lacing them up this weekend when all these teams get underway.
Especially when the Rebels.
Yeah, the Rebels get their Saturday night against whatever FCS team they're playing, right?
Southern Utah.
No, I forgot. I really forgot. I hadn't looked at it yet. I knew they opened with an FCS team. I probably would have guessed Southern Utah or Northern Arizona. But anyway, you want to get to the picks or
Let's do it.
All right. So it's the debut of Thursday Night Lights, I assume, by reading your picks. And that debut is Boulder City at Cheyenne.
Keith, you're probably going to not like me on this one, but I got the Eagles, baby. I watched some of their film, and that team looks good, and they look quick.
They put up some points against Cimarron.
Yeah, and you know, the fact that they gave up more than 240 to one person on the ground isn't exactly a ringing endorsement, but it was Jordan Norwood, who could be the rushing leader. I just think that don't sleep on the Eagles. I think they're better than I thought, and I'm going to go with the slight upset.
I think you're just trying to give your boy, Coach Patrick Ward, some fuel to fire up his team for. I don't see this one. You know I like Cheyenne a lot. I guess it's my Desert Shields. Because I'm not picking against them in any game where I feel like it's close. I don't even know if this one is close. I think Cheyenne gets them by at least a touchdown.
You want to give me plus nine for five? We haven't had a $5 bet all year.
Plus 8.5? No
plus
ties?
Plus 8.5, no ties.
Right. All right. There we go. I don't know if that was a good one, but we'll see.
All right. Next game.
American Fork and Arborview.
I was super impressed with Arborview in that D. America Fork put up 50-some points last week, but I still think Arborview at home gets it done.
Speaking of UNLV kids and that are locals, I messed that up. Whatever. The Ty Tune kid was the best player on the field most of the time. That's got to fire you up as a UNLV fan. He's a commit, rebel commit, right?
He is. Hopefully he winds up there with, you know, if a new coach comes in.
I mean, it certainly wasn't only him. I thought everyone up front was very impressive, but man, I thought he was just you know, the real standout of the whole thing. I think it's going to be tough for American Fork to stop him. I do want to pump the brakes a little bit just because, I don't know, it's never good to get too carried away in week one. Maybe Arborview takes a little bit of a step back. American Fork, I know, is good. I think this will be a little tougher for them. I mean, Basic literally couldn't... There's someone in the backfield every play. So I think they're going to encounter some adversity here. The question is, how do they answer it? From what I've seen, I think they're ready for it, though. I think Arborview wins, but I think it's going to be a close game.
You're right. This is definitely a step up in competition.
Yeah. So we both got Arborview, though.
Yeah.
I don't know if we would have a week ago without this Basic game to go off of. So hopefully we aren't overreacting. Don't let us down, Aggies, or else I'll just get back to picking you by 4 points again against teams I shouldn't. We're going to, what's it called, you know, the Hawaii thing?
Aloha something or other classic.
Okay, the Aloha Classic. And I'm assuming the afternoon game, the first game, is Liberty and Mililani?
Correct.
All right, well, who do you got in
again,
the undercard, so to speak?
If this game, oh, Morocco's going to hate you for that. Okay, if
the co-main event. Well, it's first, right?
Event.
He's not.
Yes.
It's the first of two games.
Okay, you're right. You're right. That, yeah, you,
that was not meant as a slight. I understand if it sounded like one. I apologize.
Yeah, I mean, I want to watch, you know, Brock Lesnar beat up on Frank Mir. I don't want to, you know what I'm saying? That's the main event, baby.
Yeah, okay.
You see what I'm getting at? UFC 100?
Yeah, yeah. Okay. All right.
Like I said, if this
some
game,
of these kids weren't born for UFC,
if this game was at Liberty, I'd have the Patriots. It's just, you know, it's tough to get 60 kids to Hawaii and have them ready to play in a football game. It's different than going to California. It's different than going to Arizona. And this is, you know, if Liberty would win, I wouldn't be surprised. I'm rooting for them, but I want to give accurate information, and I'm giving you Mililani.
Yeah, it's hard to argue against that. I will say, looking at this Liberty box score, our big question, or at least yours coming into the season, which I think I agreed with, was just like, is Liberty quarterback going to take a step up? Are they going to be able to throw the ball? And despite losing, that Canyon Stone King kid had a pretty nice line against Chandler, 29 for 44 for 345 yards.
Wearing number 7.
Yeah, I think that's got to bode well for the future, right? Yeah.
Sophomore, right?
Yeah, sophomore. He's a freshman last year.
Wearing Kenyon Oblad's jersey, number 7. Oblad, of course, led Liberty to many great road wins.
I know they were behind, it looks like, most of the game, so they probably didn't have a ton of chance to run the ball, maybe do exactly what they wanted, but I think that's a good sign going forward. That being said, I'm with you on this theory. So if there's a close game, I think I got to go with the team that's playing at home in the middle of the island. It's I know Liberty has some island kids, so it might not be as big of a detriment against them, but I think Milani's the right side here.
I agree.
All right. So then the second game, I won't get myself in trouble again by saying anything else. Gorman playing St. Louis.
I got Brock Lesnar.
I don't know who's Brock Lesnar.
I think that, you know, I'm a little worried about Gorman's offense. Sputtered a bit. But I think they're...
Yeah, on the other hand, their passing numbers weren't that great despite winning.
I mean, Micah Bowens.
Bowen, nailed it.
Yeah,
got it.
Yeah, he was erratic at best. And I think that they're going to need to shore it up. But it was the first game. Gorman, I'm sticking to my comments in the beginning of the year that this is probably their second-best team in the Sanchez era. Great combination of young players and old. They'll be ready to play. I know they're leaving on Wednesday, so they're going to be down there. They won't be jet-lagged. And for me, if this is a game for if Gorman loses a game this year, it'll be this game. I just have them winning just like they did when they played St. Louis with Anu Solomon at quarterback.
Whew, this one is a lot tougher for me. Did you see Max Preps has Mililani ranked ahead of him?
Ahead of?
Gorman in both their ranking systems.
Mililani or St. Louis?
St. Louis, sorry.
Oh, St. Louis.
St. Louis is ranked ahead of them in both. I do like the information that they're leaving Wednesday. When's Liberty leaving? Not sure.
I'm
okay.
Not sure. I didn't get Liberty's agenda. But I would assume later than that because it's expensive. They don't have the resources.
I mean, I think it's a coin flip. And since I had to go with the Hawaii team in the first game as a coin flip. I also don't know when we're going to disagree otherwise this week. I might go with St. Louis in a close game here. I think it comes down to the wire, and I think Gorman's great, but I don't know this statistical profile for St. Louis. They've already got 2 wins under their belt. They're looking pretty good right now.
Again, if Gorman's going to lose, it'll be this week.
Okay, then again, yeah, I'm just going to go with it. Whatever. St. Louis, 1-point game, comes down to the end. Anyone can win. I think I'll go with the home field advantage and pick against Gorman, although Gorman hardly ever loses when I pick against them. So we're different on that one. Next game, not an out-of-state opponent, but a northern opponent coming on to take Desert Pines, Bishop Minogue. What do you think?
I'm high in DP. They got a lot of playmakers, a lot of D1 guys. However, it is the first game for the Jags. I think there's going to be some mistakes like there are with every team. And I think this game is a little closer than you think, but I think we see the flash as a good play. Desert Pines last year went up to Minogue and beat Minogue. And Minogue, of course, was the state runners-up. I got DP.
Yeah, I got DP here. I don't even know if it's going to be that close. I'm high on the Jaguars, too. We're in agreement, both for DP. Vegas is going to Colorado to play Gateway.
Yeah. Wildcats in Aurora, Colorado. Nice to get out of town on Labor Day weekend. It'll be cooler. Scroggins and Davis in the Denver area, Mile High. Kitty Cats, get it done, 29-18.
The Gateway Olympians. So not necessarily...
Are you on their Max Preps page?
Yeah.
Yeah.
You didn't know they were the Olympians?
I didn't know.
No, I knew that off my head.
Off
the top of my head.
When I looked at their stats,
they don't exactly seem like a powerhouse.
Yeah, it's good for Vegas to get away, good team bonding. I just don't think this team's going to be much of an opponent.
Yeah, so I'm going with Vegas to get to 2-0, which I don't care who you played, that's impressive. We know Vegas has had some rough years, so it's cool to see them get on a little win streak here to start the year. I'm going with Vegas. Sky Ridge, Utah is where the Sierra Vista Mountain Lions are headed.
I got the under in this one. I don't think there's going to be much offense. I'll take the Utah team.
I'm going to go with the Utah team as well. Ooh, here's another one I'm torn on, this next one. Talk me through this one so I can make an informed decision. Canyon Springs at Foothill. Foothill started the season with a win. Canyon Springs, this will be their first game, right?
Yeah, Canyon Springs is going to have those first game mistakes that Foothill had last week. Foothill's got a 3-year starter in Riggin at quarterback. He's good at organizing the offense, another coach on the field. Foothill's defense, as we mentioned earlier in the podcast, was great last week. But you know me, Case. I like those quick cars, and Canyon Springs is quick. And I don't think Foothill's got the speed to match the Cadillac, which is coming out of the garage. I'll take the Pioneers.
I hadn't looked at your actual pick, and everything you said made me think you were picking Foothill. So I'm surprised how we got to Canyon Springs from that spot. I think it's a really good point that those week one jitters are out of the way for Foothill. I think Coy Riggin will be the best player on the field, and I'm going with the Ray Brewer theory, I guess, of the best player on the field. I only subscribe to that theory if it's the quarterback in a close game, and this is a quarterback and it is a close game, so I'm going with the Falcons to win this one. Durango at Green Valley.
Well, if the Gators recover from their California adventure, I think they should have no problem 37-16, even though Durango, shout out to them, they kept it close against Palo.
Yeah, I'm higher on Durango than you are. I think they're just a tough-nosed, well-coached team. I think they keep this one closer, too. That being said, I can't quite pull the trigger on them. I'm going with Green Valley to win this game, but close. Spring Valley at Chaparral.
Come on, bro. Come on. I ain't picking against my Cowboys.
All right.
Could this be
a close one, right?
Orange and black, baby.
I don't really know what's the outlook for Spring Valley. Going to be okay?
They didn't score last year, and this year they got to score more. So I think Shap with the game under their belt at home. You know, Spring Valley got beat up by Canyon a little bit in a scrimmage. It's all Cowboys all the time, baby.
Yeah, as much as I'd like to needle Brewer and pick against Chaparral, I think they seems like they're in a little bit better spot than Spring Valley. I'm going to go with Chaparral as well.
You got a little orange and black in your heart.
Yeah,
CK.
I do. Yeah. Exactly. Rancho at Clark.
Yeah, Leon Evans got that dub last week, his first game at Rancho since the 1988 state championship game. Also a win for the Rams. I don't know much about either team other than what's been told to me on the phone, but I think that, you know, Rancho has got that winning mentality, and I'm picking the Rams, baby. I think this is a case of Ray Connor getting it done for the Rams. Maybe hand the ball a little bit to Kavion Williams.
Clark wasn't bad against Virgin Valley. Their defense played really well. They just couldn't move the ball. Their only points came on a kickoff return. When's the last time Rancho won more than a game in a year? It's probably been 4 or 5 years, so I can't go with them to win two in a row. I'm taking the Chargers.
Yep, law of averages. I see it.
All right, Valley at Desert Oasis. You were all in on Valley a week ago. What happened? Now you got them losing by 35 points or something. Well, 36 points.
Yeah, the ship has hit the dock, baby. Christian Vaughn, Valley struggling bonanza. Shout out to Keith Jones. He got a dub in week one, and Valley's going to take a beating this week, buddy. They can't stop the run, and Dio could run, and Christian Vaughn's trying to get more yards than Jordan Norwood, so they'll let him get the 300.
Okay, yeah, I agree. Desert Oasis. I just thought you might be a little more conflicted on this one, but not at all. Shadow Ridge at Mojave. I think we're going to agree on this one, and both have Shadow Ridge.
And a down tailspin, so they got to get through it. Shadow better than we thought. They win big.
The
clock starts ticking right now.
Shadow's going to have nothing to take issue with us this week because we're both on them, and we're both on them in a big way. Pahrump Valley at Virgin Valley.
Yeah, I think this game's just going to be high scoring. Pahrump can't stop anything. I think they may be able to score. Virgin's probably better than you think. I take Virgin.
I'm taking Virgin as well. Virgin's quarterback is hurt, and he's going to be out a couple more weeks. So could be an opening for Pahrump Valley, though. What?
Yeah, that's a good point. I had no idea.
Yeah, so they're playing a sophomore who played pretty well against Clark, but could be tough. Yeah, I already said I'm taking Virgin, so I guess, I don't know, coin flip here, but I'm going to go Virgin Valley. Coronado at Moapa Valley. Am I crazy to think Coronado might have a chance? Probably have more numbers.
I think
you got that first game.
Let me ask you this. Is it easier to win in Honolulu or Overton?
I think Overton's easier than Honolulu.
Okay.
Overton's a tough place to play. I'm not taking anything away with them. We're ranking home field advantages. They're probably number one, or at least in the top two or three. But going flying halfway across the Pacific Ocean is a little bit more difficult, in my opinion. So you have a blowout for the Pirates?
No, I think it's, I mean, we're still talking a 4A team against a 3A team.
Exactly. That's why I think Coronado may have a chance. They didn't put up much offense, though, in their debut.
I got the Pirates, baby, by two touchdowns.
Okay, I'm gonna have to go with the Pirates, too, but I'm going to go with less than one touchdown. Really close game that Moapa Valley pulls out in the end. It's just impressive that they win these games year after year, at least usually win them. I wouldn't be surprised if they trip up, but too consistent to call for it to happen officially. And the last game is Beckman High from Colorado playing against El Dorado. California, that's what I meant. That was my fault. Yeah, you typed it correctly. Okay. Beckman from California hosting El Dorado.
I got Beckman. They're in Irvine. That's a decently populous area, right?
Well, Las Vegas is a decently populous area, too.
Yeah, you're right. It's eight.
I'm going to go with Beckman as well. So we don't disagree on many games this week, but
the ones we do, Thursday Night Lights, baby. Turn it on and watch those Eagles. Get at them.
Yeah, should be a good one. I don't see it. I like the Desert Shields, and I'm also picking against Gorman, which is usually a way to get you back in this picks
competition. That'll make you popular with at least 3/4 of our audience.
There you go. That's all I'm shooting for. Popularity contest. Well, that does it for this week of Prep Sports Now. For Ray, I'm Case. Thanks for listening. And Ray is going to send us out. He has one announcement to make.
We'll see you Tuesday next time because of Labor Day.
Labor Day. All right. So we'll be back on Tuesday. Thanks for listening.